Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Snuck over to the Alamo Dome to watch some wrestling. 51,000 people. And I did to them what some of y'all do in here. At some of the craziest points of the night, me and Tyler were just sitting there on our phone. Everybody's going crazy. And I said, these people are nuts. But at least when they say I'm nuts about Jesus. I'm pumping my fist for heaven and kingdom, praise God. So we might not have 50,000 people at Living Way yet. But I'm glad I'm in the presence of God with the people of God that know how to praise God. Amen. Somebody say, keep your hopes up. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16 and 17. And when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. Somebody say, you've got to read the room. You've got to know what's going on. Said, I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? How awesome is this place? Why is this place awesome? Because the presence of God is here. This is none other than the house of God, number one, and the gate of heaven, number two. Somebody say house of God. Somebody say gate of heaven. Now two more portions of scripture real quick. I'll let you sit down. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course. One translation says the direction, the focus of your life. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked, who can know it? If you're taking notes, you might want to write down this next statement. Don't trust your heart until Jesus is Lord of it. Don't trust your heart until, don't let your heart pick your mate until Jesus is Lord of it. Don't let your heart tell you to go this way until Jesus is Lord of it. Turn to your best friend, turn to your spouse, turn to somebody, a complete stranger, and just tell them, I have a heart for this house. Turn to somebody else and tell them, get a heart for this house. You may be seated. Mandy and I celebrate 20 years of marriage here in a couple weeks. It's kind of a running joke around our house. I'll say, Mandy, can you believe it? Almost 20 years. And she said, man, it's crazy. And I said, man, some said we would never make it. Or they said, she's always like, who is this some or they? I said, I'm sure there was. You were 17, I was 21. I mean, the odds, 54% end in divorce, and that's in perfect situations. And I said, here we are, just kids getting married. So I remember on my wedding day, one of my childhood friends said, he said, you think you're going to cry when you see Mandy walking down the aisle? I said, I don't think I will, man. I said, that's just not me. I said, I'm going to be excited, but I don't think I'm going to cry. And so Mandy, she steps out from, we didn't have this first look thing. I didn't see Mandy the entire day until she stepped through the back door of the building next door. And Shania Twain, From This Moment, was playing. From this moment. And I didn't cry. I was excited. I smiled. I mean, she looked as beautiful as she does today. And I thought, man, you know, you're finally about to trick her. I mean, close the deal and, she's about to say yes. And so my friend said, did you cry? I said, I didn't cry. He said, well, he said, when you have kids, you'll cry. That day when they're born, you'll cry. And so 11 months later, Tyler's born. And a friend comes to the hospital. He said, did you cry when you held him? I said, I didn't cry. He said, if you ever have a little girl, she'll make you cry. So Jaden was born 2.5 years later. And he said, when you held her, did you cry? I said, I didn't cry. He said, you're a cold, cold man. I said, you got a cold heart. And I told him, I said, only one thing makes me cry, and that's Jesus in his presence. And so I say that to talk about our hearts a little bit. I watched in astonishment last Sunday night on social media, grown men crying when the Dallas Cowboys lost. Putting their fist through their 75-inch TVs is not that important, y'all. I was disappointed for about 20 minutes. Then I texted Todd and I said, well, on to bigger and better things. Let's focus on what's important. This is taking up enough of our time over the last 3.5 years. And you know how it is as a Cowboys fan. At the beginning of the season, you're like, ooh, I like this squad. But halfway through the season, you're like, man, they're putting it together. This could be the team. By November, Thanksgiving, you're like, man, I think we might have a Super Bowl run in us. And by the 1st of January, we're already talking about fire the coach, get rid of Jerry Jones, But there's a lot of people that get emotional because their heart is connected to things that really don't matter. And there's a lot of time, you know, if you get emotional about something, it means that you care. I shared this week on Facebook or on social media. I think this is important. Have you ever been frustrated? I get frustrated. Frustration is not necessarily bad because it means that you care. Frustration means that you're invested in something. But what we allow to do a lot of times is we allow that frustration, church, to begin to make us act a certain way and do certain things. That frustration begins to cloud or speed up or expedite bad decision making. And so I want to encourage you, when we talk about having a heart for the house, we've got to get our heart right, and we got to make sure that the presence of God is the one that is sitting on the throne of our heart, so that the decision making, what we do, what we say, who we are, what our focus, where we're going, is all aligned with what God wants us to do. So when we say, I have a heart for the house, what we're really saying is I have a heart for the presence of God. I have a heart for when God shows up to be a part of what he's doing and to be a part of where he's going. I say this, and I don't mean any disrespect, but I say this a lot when I go places. They say, oh, man, we're so glad you've come. And I'll probably say it to the Moors at the conference in the green room. They'll say, oh, Pastor Brandon, we're so glad you're here. And I'll just tell them, I'm not the ugly girl at prom. I'm just glad to be here. See, that's not politically correct. See, when I look at my life and where I am in God, I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy that an ugly man, an ugly, sinful man, God chose to flip the script and say, listen, I can cover you with my blood. I can anoint you. If you will give me availability, it doesn't matter if you don't have ability. If you get your heart right and you get a kingdom purpose and you have my heart beating in your chest, we can accomplish much. And so, church, I want to encourage you today. If you have a heart like God, you are going to have a heart for the house and a heart for where God has planted you. Remember, a church is not the address and it's not a building. You and I, as the people of God, we are the church. But when we talk about having a heart for the presence of God, Living Way is the local house where all of us come on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's where we've raised our kids. It's where we get married. It's where we will bury our loved ones and friends. It is where we will serve a community. It is where we will reach into our community and pluck out those that are on the verge of going to hell or on the verge of making mistakes. This is the house of God. This is the presence of God. We call it Living Way, but I want you to look past the name of a church and realize that this is the presence of God. And like Jacob, I want us to leave the presence of God on a Sunday saying, how awesome is this place? How awesome is it that there's an altar for people to say yes to Jesus? How awesome is it that there's a person to pray for, that they'll send somebody to a hospital, that they'll reach out? And how awesome is it that we have that kind of heart and that God has provided that kind of house? And so the last session we talked about the revelation of Jesus, that is what the church is built on in Matthew 16. Only that revelation is what will defeat all of hell and the enemy. So to have a heart for the house, you have to have a heart like God. Remember, the devil is not scared of Living Way's address or Living Way's building. He is scared of the people that make up Living Way that are full of the Spirit of God. Realize when you leave this building today that the devil is taking notes on who is anointed and who is appointed. He understands that there's some of you that walked in here weak, but like Paul, you said, I came in here weak, but in him I am made strong. You understand that when you come in this place, you're not going to get bad news. You're not going to get fake news. We're going to give you the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my goal is not to get you all the way to the finish line by 12:25 today. My goal is to encourage you to run your race, to make one step foot, to make one inch closer to where God has called you to be. Satan fears you. As a child of God, this is a boot camp for believers. You come in here for an hour and a half on Sunday and an hour and a half on Wednesday, but we want you to stay prayed up on Monday. We want you to fast on Tuesday. We want you to make a worship altar on Thursday somewhere in the middle of your day. Why? Because what God starts here doesn't stay here. You stoke that fire. You build that flame so that when you leave this place, not only are you not on the defensive, but you are offensive minded and you are taking back what the enemy has stole. The three purposes of the church, we got the two of these last week. We are here to worship. That is singing, clapping, lifting up of hands, clapping hands, praying together, receiving communion together, and serving together. All of that is worship. And you might say, Pastor, I can do all of those things by myself. Yes, you can, but there's such a power when the people of God come together and sing. Oh, I love Chris on the drums, but listen, what's better than a drum solo is when you add a little keys, and then you get somebody on the bass guitar and the guitar, and then you join these voices together, and then a few hundred of us came in here on Sunday, and we started worshiping together, and if one puts 1,000 to flight, and two puts 10,000 to flight, that means three puts 100,000 to flight, that means four worshipers puts 1,000,000 demonic spirits on edge, that means five of us together put 1,000,000,000 evil spirits on the clock. You are good by yourself. You are great when you get together with like-minded, like-spirited. I am here to tell you, it is your job at your job to find another believer. And you say, I'm the only believer. Oh, you're going to like this. It's your job at your job to find another believer. If you can't find another believer, make another believer. And once you make another believer, now it's not just one, it's two. And you two find two. And you four find four. And you eight find. We can't complain about our situation when God says, that's the reason I called you to that situation. It's dark, it's dry, it's dead, but I've sent you because you're on fire, because you've got a heart for my presence, because you don't leave Jesus at the altar. You take him wherever you are. We are here to serve together, to worship together, but I am here to encourage you. We can't always be together, but you can do something great wherever God has you positioned and planted Monday to Saturday. Church offers, our purpose is ministry. The word of God preached, that's the gospel, it saves. But the word of God in ministry also is the epistles. That's the writings of men like Paul, and the epistles are to train and to empower. It got a little quiet and tight last week when I told you that the church, when we look at the church as in a Sunday morning expression, the church is not meant, our focus is not meant to see people saved, although that happens. That's why Jesus, when you get saved and you become a disciple, Jesus says, I need you to go to the world. So what happens here on Sundays is people will get saved, but more importantly, the saved become empowered. The saved become people of authority. The saved become people that know how to cast out devils on Monday and not just in the altar on Sunday. The empowered and disciples know how to walk into a cancer ward in the hospital and lay hands on people and them recover. I'm here to tell you, people are going to be saved, but more than salvation, we are going to empower and disciple the believer to be all you have been called to be. If you've been sitting in this church for 3 weeks and you're still smoking cigarettes, you're in the right place. But if you've been sitting in this church for 20 years and you're still smoking cigarettes, we need to do a better job discipling you. You say, well, cigarettes send me to hell? I'm not here to make that distinction. Number one, it'll make you smell like you've been there, praise God. But I'm here to tell you, you've got to have that discipline to put that away. You've got to be able to say, hey, this is how I used to be. But when God came and sat on the throne of my heart, I became different. We got to get rid of some religious spirits as well. There's a lot of religion that likes to come and creep into New Testament churches. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you know Jesus like I know him, and I know him like some of you know him, then it will change us. The purpose of the church, worship and ministry. Ministry, the preached word, the epistles preached, the laying on of hands. We got there last week. The laying on of hands. Do not neglect your gift, 1 Timothy said, Paul writing to Timothy, which was given through prophecy when the body of the elders laid their hands on you. I want to bless everyone with that word, but I want to encourage somebody, not in a demeaning way today. I want to encourage somebody that's watching at home that could have been here this morning. I want to encourage you to make the sacrifice to make the house of God a priority in your life. You say, well, Pastor, I worship with you. Yes, you did. Pastor, I prayed with you. Yes, you did. Pastor, I've got my Bible in front of me with a notebook. Yes, you do. But there's one thing that we cannot do through a screen, and that is the laying on of hands. And I want to encourage you, we will come to you if you can't get to us. But if you've got a car with a gallon of gasoline, if you were at the Santikos on Friday, and you were at the ball field on Saturday, and you were at Ross and TJ Maxx last Monday, and you drove to work or school 5 days out of the 5 days last week, then you are picking and choosing what you want to be accountable to and responsible for. And I'm telling you, I need you to be in this house, because we've got men and women that have something to impart in you. And when they lay their hands on you, something good is going to happen. You say, well, what about Jesus sending his word? Oh, he could send his word. But remember who he was sending his word to. People that could not get to him. Hey, y'all should be saying amen. You're sitting here today. He sent his word to the paraplegic, to the dead that could not get to him. He said, I'll send my word to them. But remember those that could get, there was a woman with the issue of blood that said, if he won't come to me, I've got enough energy left to crawl to him, and I will do whatever it takes to get in the presence of God. Why? Because that place is an awesome place. It's the house of God. It's the gate of heaven. It's the gate of heaven. I'm encouraging someone today. No more excuses. When you know it's an awesome place, get to that place. Make that place a priority in your life. Don't have a heart for Living Way. Have a heart for the presence of God. But if Living Way is where God has planted you, then have a heart for what God is doing here. Somebody say heart for the house. Talking about discipleship, laying on of hands. Here's something new. The third purpose of the church is fellowship, community. I find it odd that Facebook, after I've been on Facebook for 15 years, still reminds me every day, here's a friend that you should be friends with, and it suggests a friend to me. Facebook, I've been making friends since I was 5 years old. I don't need your help. But we will have people leave a church because there's no community. Well, I want to, is there a singles? If you are over the age of 30 asking for a singles ministry, you're not asking for a singles ministry. You're asking for a, can you get my next wife ministry? Fellowship is designed to sharpen you. Fellowship and community is designed to challenge you. You don't want to hang around with everybody that thinks exactly like you think and does exactly like you do. You need to be around people that make you have a perspective of heaven that you have never seen before. There are people sitting in this room today that have so much faith and are operating on another level that if you got to spend time with them the next 3 months, it would change your life. You say, well, how do I do that? Man, I want to go to lunch with them. And man, I'd like to go to dinner with them. Start serving with them right here, because who you serve with, you will eat with. Who you serve with, you will text. Who you serve with, you will develop a relationship with. Somebody say a heart for the house. The best way for someone to have a heart for God's house is to have God's heart. Acts 13, verse 22. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him. I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything that I want him to do. Well, I just don't have a heart for the things of God. Then you don't have God's heart. Because the easiest way for me to have a heart for his presence and a heart for the future the expected end that he has called us into is to have his heart. I'd take us back to the story of my friend saying, you have a cold heart. I really don't have a cold heart. I just have a heart that is more focused on Jesus. If Jesus is the only one that will make me weep, that's a good thing. It's not a hard heart. It's hardened to the world. Grown men punching their TV sets, and then they would come in this church and sit there and watch this team worship. Something wrong with that. Something wrong that you will record every episode or get on Netflix and watch all of the Housewives of L.A. And you will invest in all of that. And you'll watch 10, 12, you'll watch it so long that Netflix knows you've been watching too long. Are you still watching it to say? But then we say, man, you got to go to church every week. You want me to serve every month? You want me to give that much? You don't complain about Netflix. Actually, let me rewind that. You complain about it and you still pay it. Well, what do you think the church does with all that money? Why don't you ask CPS that? Why don't you ask Ford Motors that? Why don't you ask Olive Garden that? Why don't you ask Santico's that? What are you doing with my $8 popcorn money? You know what they're doing with the $8 popcorn money? They're paying the staff. They're building new buildings. They're making sure insurance is paid. Lights are burning. They're taking care. I am here to tell you, we've got to become, listen, all in on what God is doing. And if you've got a heart for the house, it's not going to matter what everybody else is doing. God, I've got a heart for the house, and I'm committed to what you are doing because I have your heart. Let me get to a couple more things here. So many believers in 2023 are quick to say, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to go to church because I am the church. I don't have to go to a church building to worship and spend time with God because I can do that on my own. Of course, in the last 3 years since COVID, the COVID rules have taken over. I don't have to go to church because now I can watch online. I just teased it to our staff a couple months ago. I said, I'm thinking about cutting the live stream for about 6 months. Everybody around me talked me out of it. I said, don't cut the live stream. There's some people that really need it. And the people that they were bringing, they said, what about the people on TDY that are over there in Qatar that need church? And the only reason they're not here is because Uncle Sam moved them on assignment for 6 months. What about the person that is in the hospital that can't be here physically and they're watching on their phone or their laptop? And see, that's why as a pastor, I don't want yes men and women around me. I need some people that hear from God and can check me and say, Pastor, that's not a good decision because you're going to hurt the people that have a heart for the house, but they can't be in the physical house, but they're still part of the house. See, in my mind, I was thinking about the people that just woke up late and wanted to stay in their pajamas and worship, but I wasn't thinking in large terms. I want to encourage you today. It's more than an online experience. It's more than three songs, clapping our hands, feeling good about our situation and leaving. I want this to be a place that challenges you. I want this place to make sure that when we walk in here, things we did on Thursday and Friday that were contrary to the Word of God, I want the Holy Ghost to check us here. I want the Holy Ghost to say, you can do better. I want the Holy Ghost to say, last year you did some things that weren't, but this year is your year, and you're going to step into the anointing and stay in the anointing. That's why I want this place to be that. And there's some things that just don't translate on TV. There's some things that just don't translate on TV. You know why I know that TV is not the real thing? If TV was the real thing, they wouldn't run commercials. Because commercials are there to entice you to go to the real thing. They show you a burger from Burger King so that you will get in your vehicle and drive to a building, a Burger King, so that you can have the real thing. I just want to entice. Maybe what we can do is just like show them one song and cut the feed. Show them one point and then say the most important point of the message is cut the feed. So they say, man, I got to get in that car. I got to go get the real thing. I can't get it through this TV screen anymore. There's nothing like being in the room. And I know I made jest about it earlier, but being with 50,000 people screaming at the top of their lungs last night, all in unison because they see something they like, or there was all of that. I love being in here. When I walked out earlier today, this place was jumping with the Holy Spirit of God, and you can't get that by remote. You have to be in the room. You see the car? I want to go test drive that car. I want to go buy that car. We are called to assemble together and worship together. Somebody say amen. So to those that say I don't have to go to church, I can worship online. I can spend time alone with God in my bedroom. You can. You probably won't. Because as awesome as this place is, there are still some people that come on Christmas and we don't see them until Easter. Come on Mother's Day and we don't see them again until Christmas. As awesome as this place is, there are still some people that step in to step out, not attending church weekly. Listen to what I'm going to say. And I have prayed about this. I have thought about this. This is not an emotional statement. This is not an extemporaneous statement. This is a statement that I have in my notes. It's been in my notes for a couple months. They're going to throw it on the wall. This is something I prayed about. This is not something I'm accidentally saying. There's one of two reasons why people don't attend weekly church that believe in Jesus. Number one, it's an act of arrogance. The church has nothing to offer me. Because if we really thought, if I go there, I will receive something, we would never miss a service. When your little league, when your son's little league coach said, hey, Wednesday night, we have practice at 6:30. In your mind, you would say, I know that little league's important to Jimmy. But I also know at 7 o'clock, when I get in that house, I'm going to receive purpose. I'm going to receive joy. I'm going to receive peace. I'm going to receive salvation. I'm going to receive restoration. I'm going to receive a calling from God. I'm going to receive a fresh anointing. I'm going to receive something I've never had. You would apologize to the coach and say, I'm sorry, but Jimmy can't play on this team if you're going to require him to be. Why? Because this team doesn't do anything for us. But I know when I get into God's presence, the windows of heaven open and God does something that only God can do. So the number one would be an extreme act of arrogance. And I'm not saying this because I have something to give you. I believe that the windows of heaven open over this building and stay open over this building every time we gather. And you've heard me preach before. When other people are preaching, I'm raising my hands and I'm grabbing things saying, that's my word right there. I don't care if anybody else got it. What the preacher just said, that was a Holy Spirit inspired word. That one is mine and I pull it down. That didn't happen at the WWE event. That's not going to happen at the Dallas Cowboys game. That's not going to happen down at the club. You can catch something at the club, but it ain't going to be no blessing, no favor, no calling. None of that happened. That doesn't happen out at the barn. There is one place and it's the house of God. So I am not arrogant enough to think that I have arrived or we have arrived and we don't need what God has. You might not need what Living Way has, but let me tell you, you need what the God of the universe has that he's trying to get to you. Well, I have everything. You have everything you need for this moment, but I guarantee you don't have everything you need for your next moment. So I am here for many reasons, to praise God for what he's done, what he's brought me through, to stand on faith in this moment, but I'm also here to get what I need to get to my next. I've been living and walking with God for 23 years, but I believe there's a great next for me in my life. There's a great next for you. And so by you showing up Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, you are saying, God, what's my next? I want you to be a part of it. I want to receive something from you. So the arrogant say the church has nothing to offer me, therefore I will receive. The second reason, which is probably more accepted and more of the reason, is an act of selfishness. I don't want to offer what I have to the church. church, can we just get, and I'm just going to talk to you for the last 2 minutes of this message. Can we remember how far God brought us? Can we just take a 60-second stroll down memory lane and remember how addicted we used to be? Remember how messed up we used to be? Remember how confused we used to be? Remember how angry we used to be? Remember all of the relationships that we went through, time wasted. We were hurt. We were bitter. We were dealing with unforgiveness. Can we remember how far God has brought us? Every person in this room, every person in this room, you have something that belongs to God. You say, what is it? It's your testimony. I like these front rows filled. We do a decent job, better than we've ever done, at filling these front rows. And I'll just make this generic statement right now. I love when people sit up close. And some of you might have been saying, hey, how can we sit up closer? I wonder, are those reserved? They're reserved for you. Kat, where's Kat? Kat's right here. Kat's been here. She hates when I mention her by name. This is one of Jaden's coworkers. Kat's been here less than 3 months. Kat comes in every service like she founded this church. She even walks in late like pastors do. She's wearing pajama pants this morning. But listen, I'd rather wear pajama pants here at church. I love it. Halfway through that first song, here she comes. She's fist bumping people like she's running for office. And she always fist bumps me and sits right down next to me. Say, why are you saying that? I'm saying that because here she is. 3 months ago, didn't even know if there was a God. 3 months later, never misses a Sunday. Receives salvation, baptized in water, big smile on her face. And I appreciate you applauding the transformation that has happened in her life. But every one of us has a story like that. But let us not get so far removed, church, from that moment that we can wake up on a Sunday and say, I'm really not feeling going to church today. It's foggy. It's rainy. Had a long weekend. They'll be there next Sunday. We will be here next Sunday. And I'm going to say something that most pastors wouldn't tell you. Most pastors want you here because they want to fill seats and for you to give in the offering. I'm not here to talk about what we can give you. We want you here because of what you can give all of us. All of us. One more minute. Here we go. I look on this row. I see people that were healed of cancer. I see former drug addicts. I see people that have struggled with all kinds of substances. I've seen people that have struggled with sexuality. I've seen people that were raised in religious homes, but not Jesus homes. But I've seen that God has transformed them. Some of them, it was 3 months ago. Some of them, it was 10 years ago. Some of them, it was 23 years ago. Some of them, it was 3 or 4 years ago. And I say that to say this, the reason we want you to come to church, not so that you can fill a seat, add some noise and some background to what we're doing, but we know that there's going to be another person that feels just like you felt, that's struggling just like you struggled, that doesn't know if they're going to see the end of this year, doesn't know if it's going to work out right, just got a bad report from the doctor, and here they struggle in, and could it be the Sunday you sleep in was the moment you were going to be able to share your testimony and make a connection that transforms their life? In no way am I telling you to miss vacations. In no way am I telling you that you have to have perfect attendance. But what I am telling you is most moments of your life, Sundays and Wednesdays, come to the house of God. But live it out there so that you can testify of it in here. Stand on your feet. In this series, that we just keep going and going. We're still in the foundation portion because we've got to get to the three things that the church does for you and God does back for you in the church.